Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this morning is written in the 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 44th verse. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Most people enjoy treasure hunting stories. The idea of finding lots of money stashed away somewhere and becoming rich is always exciting, even if you're an adult. Think about everything you could do with the money. There's lots of fun toys you could buy, like a Lamborghini. Maybe you could even buy a new house or go on a vacation somewhere. Whatever treasure we pile up in our life, however, does us absolutely no good in the kingdom of heaven. The parables we're going to look at this morning show us that Christ brings us into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is worth more than earthly riches. And since we possess this treasure now and in eternity, sharing our treasure is a great privilege. In our text this morning, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in parables. Parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. If we only treat Jesus' parables like Aesop's fables, then we miss the deeper spiritual truths that Jesus is revealing to us. The deeper meaning that these three parables convey isn't about worldly wealth and treasure, but instead about the kingdom of heaven. Notice that it is about the kingdom of heaven, not a place called heaven. A kingdom isn't about a specific place, such as England or the United States of America. A kingdom refers to those who recognize the reign and rule of their king. In a kingdom, there is a ruler and those who are ruled. The kingdom of heaven refers to Jesus, who is our heavenly king, and us, his people, who partake in the kingdom of heaven. It's helpful to think about the kingdom of heaven as a relationship that Christ has with us. We are the citizens who serve their king. Since we have Jesus as our king, we are part of the kingdom of heaven right now. But even though we are part of this kingdom, it is eternal and everlasting. In Daniel chapter 7, it explains this further. "And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." As Christ's citizens upon earth, we continually look forward to heaven. Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 3, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." These parables focus on aspects of what it means to have Christ as our heavenly King, and that we look forward to seeing our King face to face in heaven. In the first parable, Christ compares the kingdom of heaven to treasure hidden in a field. In New Testament times, most people would hide about a third of their possessions somewhere, like in a field, in order to keep it safe and also have it as a backup emergency fund. While this scenario might sound a little bit different to us, in the New Testament, it would have been possible to stumble upon hidden treasure. After the man found the treasure hidden in the field, he was amazed at how much it was worth. He went and sold all that he had and bought the field. He understood that the treasure he found was worth more than anything else he possessed. It was worth selling all that he had worked and labored for in order to possess this great treasure. Jesus is showing us in this parable that the kingdom of heaven is hidden. The reason that it is hidden is because the world cannot understand or see that being partakers or citizens in the kingdom of heaven is a desirable thing. Right after the parable of the treasure in the field, Jesus continues with the parable of the pearl of great price. The merchant or trader who was looking for this pearl understood its great worth. And just like the man in the parable of the treasure hidden in the field, he proceeded to sell all that he had in order to possess this great treasure, this wonderful pearl. As a merchant who was skilled at finding items of worth, he would have been experienced at finding valuable pearls. The stone's size and luster and smoothness would have all been factors for him to analyze. This pearl was so great in value that he sold everything else he owned in order to possess this treasure. He desired it so much that he's willing to give all that he had for this precious gem. These two parables show important aspects about the kingdom of heaven. The first parable shows us that it is hidden, just like the treasure in the field. The second parable explains that it is of measureless value. It is worth more than any earthly possession that we might own. By understanding these two parables, that the kingdom of heaven is hidden and also worth more than anything we possess, we know that serving God in the kingdom of heaven is a wonderful thing for us to desire. Our sinful nature resists the idea of serving Christ in the kingdom of heaven, no matter how great it might be. Instead of gladly serving our heavenly King, who created us and nourishes us, our sinful nature wants to serve worldly stuff instead. Jesus explains the impossibility of serving him and also earthly possessions in Matthew chapter 6. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. By money, Jesus doesn't mean that it's bad to have nice things or to have money. In this verse, he's explaining that when our heart serves earthly possessions instead of him, we no longer serve Jesus as our King. Our sinful nature always serves mammon or worldly goods instead of our Savior. Think about the earthly thing that you turn to in times of distress. What do you turn to for a sense of stability in your earthly life? That thing or object is what your heart serves rather than Christ. It can be alcohol, technology, your car, or shopping. Anything that we serve with our heart instead of Christ is an idol. Our sinful hearts trade out the relationship that we have with Christ, our King, and serves false gods instead. We don't deserve the kingdom of heaven, but instead eternal punishment. In order to fix the broken relationship that we have with Christ, our King, God the Father sent his Son into the world. Just as the kingdom of heaven has a hidden value that the world despises and can't see, so too, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection have a hidden value. Jesus, our heavenly King, humbled himself and became a man. He hid his divine nature in the humiliation, living among his own people to heal the relationship that we broke with him. Even though he humbled himself, he is still our true God and rightful King. As true man, Jesus was tempted in our place, yet without sin. A good example of this is when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness after fasting 40 days. The devil tempted him that if only Jesus would bow down and worship him, he would give him all the kingdoms of the world. This was a temptation to worship the world and its riches as an idol. Jesus resisted temptation by saying, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." While he is humbled upon the earth, Jesus avoided becoming an earthly king and using his power selfishly. After the miracle of feeding the 5,000, Jesus explained, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Christ didn't come to serve the world's riches and become an earthly ruler. Christ came to serve and do his Father's will, even to the point of death. Upon the cross, he was mocked for not coming down and saving himself. He definitely could have come down from the cross as a powerful king and ruler, but he didn't. He didn't come down from the cross because he was taking our place. What type of king takes the death penalty for his citizens? If it was fair, we would have been the ones upon the cross, suffering the punishment for our sins. And yet Jesus died for us. Paul explains this wonderful act in Romans chapter 6. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ loved us and died for us so that we can be citizens of his kingdom. Christ gives us the kingdom of heaven as a gift to all who believe in him. The kingdom of heaven is a priceless treasure that we did nothing to earn, but instead it is given to us by the Holy Spirit through the means of grace. Think about your doubts concerning whether you belong in the kingdom of heaven. Are you worried that God will no longer be your king after sinning? Maybe you feel like you don't really belong in the kingdom. Those feelings, however, are not based upon what God says to us. Despite how it may feel, we know that we are part of the kingdom of heaven because we are baptized. When the devil or your own feelings make you question whether you really belong in the kingdom of heaven, then remember this: that baptism is your seal, signed by royal blood, that you are truly forgiven and part of the kingdom of heaven. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Through the gospel and baptism, we receive the kingdom of heaven in our hearts. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven would come, Jesus responded, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is right here among us through the means of grace, where Jesus enters into our hearts and makes us citizens of heaven. In the third parable, Jesus explains in even greater detail what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven. He explains that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is lowered into the sea and gathers fish. When the net is full, it is pulled to the shore, and the good and bad fish are sorted out. The bad fish are then thrown away. This is a picture of what will happen at the end of the world, when Jesus will come in glory and the angels will separate the righteous from the wicked. Even though we are unworthy, we are counted as part of the good fish on account of Christ's holy life and death in our place. Through Christ, we receive the gift of heaven. We are certain of this, remember, because of our baptism, which is our seal signed by Christ's own blood, that you are part of the kingdom. It is impossible for us to understand this fully. We will continue to spend our whole lives learning about the great blessings and care that our compassionate King shows us, where he rules over us in power and grace. Christ concludes his parables by explaining that those in the kingdom of heaven are like someone who runs a household and can bring out a treasure to show others. This is talking about us. We have the treasure of the gospel that we can bring out and show to others. This is wonderful because it brings others into the kingdom of heaven. This teaching is not new. It is old and perfect. It's easy to think that something old isn't that exciting, but with the gospel, it is always a new thing for those who haven't heard it. For those who haven't heard it, it is a new treasure that brings them into the kingdom of heaven and a relationship with their Savior. Out of thanks and joy for what Christ our King did for us upon the cross, we want to share the treasure of the kingdom of heaven with everyone. Since it is hidden and worth more than anything we own, we have the great privilege of being able to take it out and show it to others. Sharing the kingdom of heaven is an opportunity to express the great joy and love that we have in Christ, our King. We live upon this earth, already part of the kingdom of heaven, looking forward to the day when we get to see Jesus, our King, face to face. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." The great joys and perfection we will experience in heaven is beyond what we can imagine or comprehend. Even so, we join with the disciples in answering Jesus' question, "Have you understood all these things?" by answering, "Yes, because by faith we know that his promises are true." We know that God's promises are true because Christ rose again from the dead on the third day, just as he promised he would. By his life, death, and resurrection, Christ brings us into the kingdom of heaven. Whatever money and wealth that we could have upon the earth is nothing compared to the great treasure we have in this kingdom. We can't see it right now, but it is worth more than anything we own. We can't buy it, but the Holy Spirit gives us the treasure of the kingdom of heaven through baptism. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we will be counted as part of the good fish on account of Christ's holy life and death, and we'll spend the rest of our lives in eternity with Christ the King. While we patiently wait upon the earth, it is our great privilege and joy to share our treasure with others. We want everyone to know about the great treasure we have in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into everlasting life. Amen.